begin my story, I just want to share a little bit of what we've been talking about in RE this month. This month, the theme in RE for the month of April was wholeness. Our children talked about wholeness in our community by talking about inclusivity, and they talked about wholeness within our nature. And then today we're talking about wholeness of self. We're going to be talking about how to embrace everything that is yourself, themselves, and to share that with the world. So with that, I would like to read the story, I Like Myself by Karen Beaumont. Oh, I dropped a microphone. That's okay. I embrace the clumsiness of myself. I like myself. I'm glad I'm me. There's no one else I'd rather be. I like my eyes, my ears, my nose. I like my fingers and my toes. I like me wild. I like me tame. I like me different and the same. I like me fast. I like me slow. I like me everywhere I go. I like me on the inside too, for all I think and say and do. I like inside, outside, upside down, from head to toe and all around. I like it all. It all is me, and me is all I want to be. And I don't care in any way what someone else may think or say. I may be called a silly nut or crazy cuckoo bird, so what? I'm having too much fun, you see, for anything to bother me. Even when I look a mess, I still don't like me any less. Because nothing in this world, you know, can change what's deep inside. And so, no matter if they stop and stare, no person ever, anywhere, can make me feel that what they see is all there really is to me. I'd still like me with fleas or warts or with a silly snout that snorts. Or knobby knees or hippo hips or purple polka-dotted lips. Or beaver breath, or stinky toes, or horns protruding from my nose. Or yikes, with spikes all down my spine, or hair that's like a porcupine. I still would be the same, you see. I like myself because I'm me.
As we begin our time of joys and sorrows, I would like to take just a moment to acknowledge the shooting at the synagogue in San Diego. And we have some words from someone who visited with us a couple of weeks ago. You may remember Leslie White, who was here talking about anti-Semitism and violence. And so as I often do when confronted with yet one more tragedy, I reached out to her yesterday and asked her if she had any words for our congregation. And she says, as my community finishes our observance of Passover, the Jewish festival of freedom, I struggle once again to make sense of yet another violent attack. April 27th also marks exactly 6 months since the Pittsburgh Tree of Life synagogue shooting, and also happens to be Blaze Bernstein's 21st birthday. And if you don't remember the story about Blaze, last year he was a young man, he was, I think, about 19 at the time, and he was Jewish and gay and murdered by a neo-Nazi. When the Jewish community loses but one soul, it echoes within all of us, as if each of us loses a piece of ourselves. I continue to pray for a world of acceptance where we embrace our differences and are able to learn from one another. As I embark on this week of Holocaust remembrance, Yom HaShoah, I shall keep your warm and welcoming congregation in my thoughts, as I continue the fight for a better world against hate through education and by example. For those who were lost or hurt today in San Diego, 1 week ago in Sri Lanka, 6 months ago, or the 6 million lost 80 years ago for no other reason than for being Jewish, let us vow to remember. May their memories be a blessing. I'm going to invite our worship associate to light a candle in acknowledgement of this morning, and I ask you to share with me just a moment of silence here. Of course, we know there are so many violent acts that occur throughout the world every day for so many reasons. And yet, we do take a moment to acknowledge the ones that seem to happen in our own backyard because they are strong reminders of the work that we are called to do in this world. And so we acknowledge that this morning as we sit here at the end of Passover on the brink of Yom HaShoah. And I'll invite Judy to light a candle as well for our larger UU community, many of whom are at the assembly this morning in Long Beach, where we've gathered this weekend. We have some delegates from our congregation there, and I had the pleasure of spending Thursday and Friday morning with ministers from all over the region. And it was wonderful to share updates with them about UUCF and the things we're doing, to hear their stories and just be present with them and know and reaffirm for ourselves why we do this work. So I bring you their greetings and their support and appreciation for all that this congregation continues to contribute to our larger UU community. And as we begin our time of joys and sorrows, I'd like to give you an update about Carolyn Brislon, and Mark is here this morning with us. But Carolyn has had a tough couple of weeks here. She had most recently pneumonia, landed her in the hospital, but she is home now, and she's doing as best that she can. She appreciates your thoughts and support. She's not taking visitors or accepting phone calls at the moment, but I know she appreciates knowing this community is here, and hopefully we will see her here again soon. But definitely our thoughts are with Carolyn. I know it's been a tough time, and our thoughts are with you too, Mark, as you care for her. If anyone has a personal joy or sorrow they'd like to share at this time, I invite you to come forward.
My name is Allison Daniels, and I have a joy and a concern. I have a joy because I was able to participate in the San Dimas Laverne Seroptimus. I work out that direction, so we had a Seroptimus event. It was called Empowerment, which was really cool, and it talked about raising women up and how the world would really benefit from that. So it was an exciting event, so exciting that I decided to join, filling out that paperwork. The concern is you've heard about my parents and their struggles, but we're at a low spot right now. My stepdad, 93 years old, is just not thriving right now. He's not eating as much and sleeping more, and we can't find anything necessarily wrong with him, but it's just like he seems like he's giving up a little. It's a little scary for us right now.
Hi, I'm Lawrence. I have friends named Patty and David. We've been friends since we were children, and we grew up and they got married. And after 30 years, they got divorced a couple of years ago. And exactly 1 year ago today, David took his own life. And we're all, I'm still struggling with that. I'm just really struggling with that right now.
Hi, Okay. Okay. My name is Fred Kushner. First, I'll do my joy. A month ago, some of you might remember, last time I was in a hospital in the Philippines with pneumonia, and I am now well enough that Wednesday I plan to participate in my 45th May Day March in Santa Ana. I'm wearing my red shirt for that today. My sorrow, my anger, my sadness as a Jew is what happened. And those of us who are Jewish, whether we're atheists or not, the slogan of never again reverberates in your heart. So I have a lot of anger, and I'll hopefully in May Day help find many other people who want to make a positive change. I just want to say one other thing. Let's not forget about Sunnyvale. 3 days ago, one person was killed and a family was run down because some idiot thought they were Muslim. And both these guys were anti-immigrant zealots. So there's a world out there where my kid is not safe, we're not safe, and a Unitarian church was attacked, but it's 5 years ago. So, and that's very personal. I know it's usually not the thing we say at Joys and Sorrow, but it is in my gut. And I would venture to say for every Jew that we will, I cried, and I'll cry about it.
It's a heavy microphone today. Oh my goodness. I'm really, really sorry for everyone and everything that's going on. I want to have something positive for you guys. So I, blessing whatever would be for me, I am a mermaid performer for children's parties, and I saw there was a little girl over here with her mermaid doll. I'm just like, oh my goodness, that was me. So I'm really happy because I am getting back into that, and it makes me very happy. I love kids. I love swimming in my tail, and I'm really excited about doing that again. Yes, we exist. Oh, there's a whole network. Seriously. But I'm actually up here because I have my own pain. I lost my best friend, who I thought was my best friend for many years, and it turns out she really wasn't. And it incredibly painful. She just basically never got around to telling me that she didn't really want to hang out. She got married. She had a child. I thought, oh, this is really special. I'm basically going to be like her aunt. And she just pulled away. And in the end, when I finally confronted her, she basically said, it was very, very hurtful, and she was my only friend since eighth grade. She was my only friend at the time when this happened. So I'm casting new friends for my life right now. all ages, all ethnicities. I would really, really love to have coffee with anyone, you know. If you want, just talk to me afterward. I live in Brea with my husband, my wonderful husband. So we're local. Anyway, that's all.
Hi, I just wanted to let everybody know my husband Al's birthday was Wednesday, his 90th birthday. And we had a small celebration yesterday. I wish that we could have invited everybody here. But we are sharing a lot of goodies with you today. There are pictures out in the social hall. And Reverend John Dobra came, and he wanted to send his best wishes to everybody.
I'm Marilyn, and this is Dean Fishman. And we got married very young, and our parents said it'll never last. Well, it lasted 60 years. We just celebrated our 60th anniversary.
My name is Bruce Rebond. I would like to light a candle for a woman named Lori Kay. I've never met her, but she was the one that put herself between the rabbi and shooter yesterday at the Passover celebration. She saved the rabbi's life. I just want to honor her for her doing what she did. Thank you.
Yes, Lori's life was lost, and I believe that three or four other people were wounded in the shooting. Well, as always, we have a lot in our hearts and minds, some of which we've spoken this morning. We have wonderful things to celebrate. 90th birthdays and anniversaries and all those things in life. And we also have the things we're struggling with, the anger that we hold, the injustice that we see for violence in the world, the plea for friendships and relationships that are meaningful and that last. These are all just, again, the tip of the spectrum of what is happening in the lives of people in this room. So let us hold that all as sacred knowledge as we move forward with our time together. I invite you into the spirit of meditation, reflection, and prayer. This morning, we acknowledge the gifts and the limitations of being human in the bodies that we inhabit. Each and every day, there are reminders of the places we need to grow, both in our hearts and minds, in our sense of compassion, in our appreciation of joy, and our work to ensure the safety and well-being of others. Let us take a moment of shared silence to acknowledge the reality of the bodies that we are in, the space that we inhabit on this earth, and the gratitude that we continue to work to cultivate as we move toward blessing this world, a world that is too often full of strife and struggle. We are each unique in how we are composed, the cells and the tissue that creates this human being that houses our thoughts, our feelings, our joys, and our woes. our relationship to our own bodies is fundamental in creating our relationship to the bodies of others. Without that self-love and acceptance of who we each are individually, we struggle to create a world that is built on compassion and justice and love for one another. We have to begin the work of loving the world by beginning with ourselves. Let us take that work on as holy work, as a call that is greater than just the call of the individual, but a call of all humanity. May it be so.
For help is not easy. I love people, I love talking with people, but I'm an introvert. And when I am around people, I get tired. So it can be exhausting to be in public, especially by myself, because that's when I'm approached most often and asked if I need help. Or I'm just in an awkward situation because I'm not the default normal person that people expect. I'm not trying to dissuade you from offering help to me or people like me, because I might need it, I have needed it, and it is nice. But it can be hard to be cast in the role as someone who looks to others as obviously struggling or obviously different many times every day. I am not an expert in accepting my body, accepting pain and vulnerability. But I want to remind all of us to slow down, to try to accept our natural human pace. We live in a consumer culture. Advertisers offer quick relief and hurry while supplies last and act now. Companies with names like Sprint or like the Nike Whoosh glorify speed and shame us to motivate us to buy. To resist these images is to have patience with ourselves, with our bodies, with little bodies, with frail bodies, with big bodies, with tall bodies, with all bodies. I would like to acknowledge those with hidden disabilities, like chronic pain or fibromyalgia, mental health or cognitive differences. And I know you're here even when it's not obvious, like my disability. And for all of us, it is not easy to accept help from others. We want to be seen as strong and capable, and our society as individualistic. But when you accept help, you're putting yourself in that role of someone who needs help, and like I said, I don't like that role. But I think about the role that the other person is allowed to play, which is of kindness and of generosity, and that's wonderful. I would like to share my gratitude for my body, for my wheelchair. It's an amazing tool. And gratitude to this community that welcomed me here last fall. And indescribable gratitude for the wheelchair signs I suddenly noticed everywhere 20 years ago after my injury.
You know I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear, I ain't no size two, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do. Cause I got that boom, boom that all the boys chase, and all the right chunk in all the right places. I see the magazine working that Photoshop. You know that stuff ain't real. Come on now, make it stop. Inch of you is for me from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your size. She says boys like a little more booty to hold at night. You know I won't be no stick figure silicone Barbie doll. So if that's what you're into, then go ahead and move along. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, hey! I'm bringing booty back! Go ahead and tell them skinny girl is that. Now I'm just playing, I know you think you're fat. But I'm here to tell you, every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your size. She says, boys like a little more booty to hold at night. You know I won't be no stick figure silicone Barbie doll. So if that's what you're into, then go ahead and move along. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, because you know I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, because you know I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass. Hey, 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 ooh,
how do I follow that? A dozen sixth grade boys, laughing, chattering. First week of junior high. And that made all of us new, especially me, having moved into the district that summer and not knowing anyone. And I was invited to join that group of laughing boys. And I started laughing too, laughing before I even knew what I was laughing about. "You gotta see her," one of them said, grabbing my arm. "She's so ugly," another boy said. "What's she look like?" someone else asked. "Well, I haven't seen her yet," admitted that first boy, "but I've heard about how ugly she is." And then she came out of the restroom. A sixth grade girl who had gone through a growth spurt, little taller than most of the other girls, still awkward in that way that happens to all teenagers inhabiting a changed body. Her face was red, eyes puffy, like she'd been crying. "Is this the ugly girl?" I wondered. And there was laughter all around me, and I caught a glimpse of her face as she ducked back into the bathroom, and I knew that she knew the laughter was for her. And I felt such shame, but I didn't do anything. And then the next week, I heard that she had transferred schools. I've carried a lot of shame for that moment. I desperately wanted to fit into that group of sixth grade boys, and there was this moment of pointing out and even making fun of someone because of their physicality, I didn't object. Not because I necessarily thought it was funny, but because I was scared. Too scared to do anything courageous or helpful. You know, we learn very young that it's best to be quick to point out someone else's differences before our own are pointed out. And God knows I was at the other end, the receiving end of that teasing and bullying at other times. It's easy during that period when free teens are beginning to notice their own bodies and feel some insecurity about them to point out others' supposed flaws. Add into that the assumptions about what it means to be male or female, what characteristics we're supposed to have, and the struggle to be at peace with the realities of our bodies often develops into a very complicated lifelong process. You know, most of the big questions that humans ask through religion often ignore the realities of our bodies. Our bodies are often second thoughts, temporary houses that our souls must endure before we get to something better. Religion has often had more respect for the body after death than it has for the body during life. Cast out of the Garden of Eden, the Hebrew scriptures order us to be ashamed of our naked bodies. The Christian scriptures ultimately invite us to escape our bodies. Our salvation occurs once we are released from our bodies. And too often, the lack of appreciation for our own bodies can lead not just to judgment about the worth of others, but to violence. The synagogue shooting is more evidence that the message that our bodies are sacred, are holy, and of great value, that message has been lost. If it weren't, then wouldn't we humans put more value on taking care of the bodies that populate this earth? Wouldn't we make sure that there is health care for all? Wouldn't we swiftly respond when shooters target people because of what houses of worship their bodies are situated in? But we don't. We don't do that. Which suggests to me, alongside the whole bloody history of human interaction with one another, that we don't think very highly of our bodies, that we think they are pretty disposable. But what if these bodies are all there is? Or, to nuance that a little bit more, what if these bodies are all we can know for sure? The reality is that we come in all sizes and shapes, all abilities and disabilities, and we change throughout our lifetimes. Sometimes we are happier with the size or shape we may be than other times. Sometimes we no longer have an ability we used to have. Sometimes we care a lot about how we look, and sometimes we don't feel like it matters. Sometimes we luxuriate in physical sensations, and sometimes we carry the burden of chronic pain. The realities of our bodies change throughout our lifetimes. And how often are people truly at peace with their bodies? The messages from early on tell us all kinds of things about ourselves, whether it's our parents, the other kids at schools, magazines, TV. We get lots of ideas about how worthy our bodies are. We're not supposed to be too big, but we shouldn't be too small, too tall, too short. We can't be too young, but not too old. In that moment with those sixth grade boys, we were acting out an old story that we had already learned well. A story about what girls were supposed to look like, how boys were supposed to behave, and what it means to judge based on assumptions and appearances. You know, this week I heard from another UU minister on the other side of the county. This person had gotten called by someone in the Fullerton area looking for a Unitarian Universalist minister to do a memorial service. "Why didn't you call Reverend Jason at the Fullerton Church?" this minister on the other side of the county asked. "Oh, I looked him up online," this person said. "He looks much too young to know what he's doing." Thanks. As Dr. Rakowski spoke about in her reflection earlier, we often make a lot of assumptions about people based on their appearances, their needs, their abilities, and even what they are capable or incapable of. From having friends with disabilities, I've learned things like the importance of asking if help is needed before actually taking action to help. The reality is that all of us in our imperfect bodies will at some point need help with something. We will all face vulnerable moments in our lives. But it's better if others don't assume what we can or can't do. It's best to ask. You know, as Unitarian Universalists, we're called to live out our principles. We talk about that a lot. And this morning, after yet another act of violence at a place of worship, the first principle is our focus, the worth and dignity of every human being. Now, in the old days, Unitarians and Universalists held the belief that there was a divine spark in each of us, a little piece of God, which made us all worthy of being cared for and loved. And this led to Unitarians and Universalists sticking up for people who were oppressed and even abused because of the bodies they came in, their skin color or disabilities or whatever shape they might be. Nowadays, we may not all believe that this is the right thing to do because of that original reason that everyone has a piece of God in them. That might work for some folks, but may not work for other people. But we mostly do agree it's the right thing to do because it's the right thing to do. I mean, it's fair, it's just, it makes sense. But that doesn't mean we still don't have our prejudices. At another UU church, which will remain nameless, I once sat in on a discussion with them about their search for a new minister. "I'm not sure I could have a minister who was overweight," one congregant said sheepishly. "I know that's my problem, but it really bothers me." Now, this person, I will say, was a real social justice activist, a champion for the oppressed. Yet she felt like her congregation couldn't be led by a minister who was a certain body size. And I wonder, what does that say about the work of respecting bodies that even supposedly progressive, justice-seeking people still need to do? There's no doubt that sizeism is alive and well, along with racism and ableism and ageism and a whole host of isms that cause us to make assumptions about people because of the package they come in. This is work that most of us need to do, as it's ingrained in us from early on, often leading to that core fundamental insecurity about our own bodies. Just when we think we're maybe okay with who we are, we notice some wrinkles we hadn't noticed before, or the scale reads differently than we hoped for, or maybe we can't bend down and pick up something quite as fast or even at all like we used to do. That's the thing about loving our bodies, right? They keep changing throughout our lifetime. So the love we have for them has to be deeper than just what condition our body is in at any given moment. We have to live in a place of gratitude for the home that is our body, whatever state it may be in. And this is hard sometimes, because it's not like we don't know that there might be things we could improve upon. There might be exercises we need to do to make our bodies stronger. There might be disabilities that are ours to manage, and that can take a toll on how we feel about our bodies. There might be effects of age on our bodies, the realization that what you could do last year, you can't do anymore. There might be chronic pain that makes it hard to feel gratitude. All these things can challenge us to feel grateful for these imperfect bodies that are our homes. But it's important work, as hard as it can be sometimes, because we can't completely separate our inner selves from our bodies. We can't say we love the inside of ourselves but not the outside, for the two are interconnected in ways that can't be completely undone. I think of that sixth grade girl, her name was Donna, transferring to that other school all those years ago because kids judged her for the way she looked. It's something that affects a person on the inside. Somehow, Donna had to find a way to love her body enough to carry on. And maybe it's even made her a more compassionate person, someone who helps others understand that the way people perceive one another in the world shapes our inner being, at least in some way. We, as our seventh principle says, are part of that interconnected web of all things. This means we all have a responsibility to do what we can to make sure others are appreciated for exactly who they are in the bodies they are in. I know it was Maya Angelou who talked about how all children are looking for people to light up when they walk in the room. Something that doesn't happen as readily for certain children, oftentimes because of the way they look. It might be their skin color or something else about them that stops adults, teachers, from looking at them in that way. She said, "Your eyes should light up when a child enters the room." But I think this just isn't just about children. We're all looking for people to light up when we walk into a room. We're all hoping to be welcomed as we are, housed in whatever body we are housed in. And with this in mind, I invite you into the spirit of reflection with me. If you'd like, you can close your eyes. And I want you to begin by noticing your breath. Take a breath in and feel the breath of life. Let it out. Draw it in and know this breath is the sustaining miracle, the core of life itself. And if you are comfortable in so doing, I invite you to put your hand over your heart. Feel that heartbeat. The pulse of life, the rhythm that sings throughout your body, that reminds you of the song of life itself. You may now relax your hand. And I want you to think within your mind, picture your body there and try to draw, starting at the top of your head, an imaginary line down through your body. Take your time, noticing the curves along the way, split that line in two, run it down your legs, considering its journey down to the earth that holds you below. This is your body. Take a deep breath. Let it out and notice the whole of your body, the space it occupies. And with that released air, I invite you to release whatever tension you carry at this moment. And in so doing, in releasing that tension, may you move into a space of gratitude, taking a moment to acknowledge the traumas our bodies have undergone and our bodies' continued commitment to survival. Take a moment to acknowledge the complicated relationships we still hold with our bodies, the struggle with the limitations we encounter, the wish for aspects of our body to be different. Take a moment to acknowledge the reality of the work we still have to do to love our own bodies more and thus in turn to love other bodies, others' bodies more. To continue to strike down ableism, sizeism, sexism, racism, homophobia, transphobia, ageism, and all the other obstacles that exist that keep people from loving their bodies. To renew our commitment to seeing all human bodies as of being of great worth. To stop acts of aggression and violence against these sacred bodies. Let us hold gratitude for our intellectual abilities. And let us not forget this work of loving the physical selves that inform the totality of our lives in countless ways. May we emerge, and I invite you to come back to this space, open your eyes, and emerge from this shared moment today with the knowledge that not ignoring all the complexities we've stated, still, the knowledge that all bodies are good bodies.
Our offering is a vital way we show our gratitude for this community. By giving to UUCF, we know that this community of caring will continue to do its work throughout the world. We thank you for your generosity.
inside of my world. But she's just like a maze, where all of the walls all continually change. And I've done all I can to stand with my heart wound, the steps with my hand. Now I'm starting to see, maybe it's got nothing to do with me.